Please be seated, and Beryl will come to read from the scripture.
The reading is from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 6, and it can be found on page 893 in the Pew Bibles. Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they'd gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please sit down. Do you stay there or do you have seats for my back? I hate talking to people with my back. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Again, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. And again, do you love me? You know everything, Lord. You know I love you. This was a healing conversation for Peter. If we go back in the story quite a way, it's chapter 13 in John, there was the time when he protests his undying loyalty to Jesus. "I'm not going to let you down. I'll follow you wherever you go. I'm ready to die for you." And then later, beside the fire in the courtyard, he denies even knowing Jesus, let alone following him, three times. And then think of Peter leaving that courtyard, deeply ashamed, afraid of what Jesus will think of him, of what the other disciples are going to think of him, angry with himself, afraid to face God with the truth of what he'd done. And then, of course, after the crucifixion, not being able to forget. And now here, by another fire on the beach, Jesus asks Peter these three questions that echo the previous affirmations of loyalty and the three denials. Jesus doesn't mention those denials to Peter. He doesn't put Peter down. He doesn't belittle him, doesn't blame him, doesn't mention them at all. But in great love, he goes to the heart of the matter, the pain that Peter is carrying. And those three questions, in fact, heal that pain. And when Peter's answer comes, "I love you, Lord," he doesn't just get a cozy, "Oh yes, it's okay now, Peter, we're all going to be nice friends again." He gets complete acceptance, but he also gets the challenge to pick up the task that he's been given. So Jesus doesn't water down the task he's going to give Peter because of what he's done or felt, but he trusts him again with the full job. And what I think we see in this story is that the cross and the resurrection don't just mean forgiveness for guilt for our sins, but it's also the means whereby we're set free from the deep shame that we carry about those and so many other things in our lives. Shame is different from guilt. Guilt focuses on something that we've done, an action, whereas shame focuses on how we see ourselves as a result. Guilt is linked to a punishment for something, for a misdeed, whereas shame is linked to fear of other people's opinions and expectations. Punishment will take away the guilt, but won't take away the shame. Only love can take away the shame. Because Peter, by this stage in the story, knows that Jesus, up here, knows that Jesus has forgiven him. He knows that. But he's still carrying the shame of what he did. And many of us are like Peter. carrying a huge load of shame about ourselves. We too know in our heads that we are forgiven, especially if we're good evangelicals. We know that we are forgiven because of the cross. But that doesn't stop us feeling bad about ourselves. And the stuff inside comes from all kinds of places. Some of it comes from childhood, from things we've done or failed to do or be. And mostly, most importantly, from those parts of ourselves that we're deeply uncomfortable with. Attitudes, feelings, fantasies, addictions. Things we've probably not even talked about, perhaps, to anyone else. And it's a shame that is underlined by our feeling that we've got to live up to what other people expect of us. Especially in churches, we're brilliant at subconsciously building up a whole raft of ways of behaving and thinking and believing that we put on one another. And shame, of course, is one of the things that I'm ashamed of. So I never, especially if you're male, often it's never. If you're a woman, you're more likely to share it, I think. Or very rarely talk to anyone else about how I feel about myself. So I never have the chance to learn that other people actually are carrying the same sort of feelings. It's a feeling that it's not safe to be myself, that I can't be quite sure I'm going to be acceptable, that others will accept me and love me and want me, no matter what. If they only knew what I was doing on the computer last week, if they only knew what I did on the business trip away, if they only knew the horrible feelings I've got about one of my children, my partner, my neighbour, or whatever. Inside most of us, there's a piece of us that's very vulnerable, very scared, very inadequate. And most of us, again, especially the male half of the human race, are very good at building up defence mechanisms, projecting a very confident, go-get-em, achieving kind of persona. Or it might be anger or cynicism or a withdrawal into silence. But we've all got our different ways of coping with the shameful bits in ourselves. But God in Jesus fully identifies with us and our shame. In his life, he stood in solidarity with the groups of people in his society who were most excluded, most shameful. In his death on the cross, he experienced the shameful exclusion that we all fear, totally. It was a humiliating disgrace. It was a complete failure. He was abandoned by everyone, and depending on your theology, including God. So in Jesus, God comes to us as a brother or sister who knows me in my deepest self, who loves me unfailingly, who celebrates the person I am, including those darker bits that we're so afraid of, who wants me only to be the person God's made me to be fully the person I can be. Just as Peter did, so do we. We need a new relationship with ourselves, as well as a new relationship with God and others. What we've learned to be ashamed of in ourselves, Jesus displays openly on the cross. And in some way that we can't understand, he takes our shame too. Brings it into the open. Takes away its hold on our inner life and sets us free. Jesus absorbed without self-pity or revenge the worst that anyone could do. As we start to see ourselves as Jesus sees us, with compassion instead of contempt, our hearts can melt with love for the lonely, hurting person deep inside, who's lived inside us all our lives, often ashamed and fearing rejection for as long as we can remember. Peter is healed and set free from his shame by this experience of being truly loved by Jesus. And this experience of being really accepted and loved is life-changing for him. And it can be for us. It frees us to be ourselves. It frees us to be more honest with other people. It frees other people, funnily enough, to respond more openly to us. And as we reconnect ourselves with ourselves, with each other, and with God, we become more fully alive. And that's the experience of resurrection. And this needs to be the basis of Christian ministry, yours and mine, built on the fact that somewhere deep inside each one of us, there is a love for Jesus, despite all the times, goodness knows, that we let him down, despite all the failure and the shame that we carry. Jesus wants to find that love, to help us nurture it, tune into it, give us the chance to express it, to heal the failures and the shame of the past. And he has a new task for you and me too, when we do so. So let's be quiet together now. I invite you to close your eyes. And suggest we connect with where we feel a deep sense of shame, like Peter. Those parts of ourselves or our past that we may never yet have spoken about to anyone. Those bits of us where we too are afraid that if people knew, they would rubbish me, not want me around. Where deep down I feel that God too just won't accept me because of what I've done or am. Now here this morning, Jesus is waiting to meet you and me just like he was waiting to meet Peter. Jesus knows our shame, knows where it's coming from, knows our fear. Jesus doesn't blame us or rebuke us, but holds out his arms to welcome us and hold us. Come and eat with me. He says to us, "Do you love me?" Taking all our shame, forgiving us, and setting us free. And now he calls us to love others as we are loved. Take care of my sheep and follow me. Amen.